Say this, the Word of God,
is
the answer. So we're going to be talking about the basis of faith. We're talking about the foundation. We're talking about, okay, you have faith, whether you realize it or not. All of you have faith. But what is the foundation of your faith? What is your faith built on? That's what we're going to be talking about. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. I love this parable. Love it. My favorite parable is the parable of the sower. But I love this parable. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now Jesus here is teaching a parable. And usually in his parables, he would give a natural illustration, and then he would come back and give a spiritual interpretation. So he would talk about something that people could appreciate in order to clarify things that were spiritual in nature. So he would use what is called parable. So in this parable, there are five components of the parable. So we're going to look at the parable from the natural illustration, and then we'll move over to the spiritual interpretation. So there are five components in this parable. There are builders, houses, foundation, storms, and results. Builders, houses, foundation, storms, and results. So let's look at the natural illustration. The natural illustration in the parable. We have builders. There are two builders. There are two men, and they're both building a house. And the Bible says that one builder is foolish and one builder is wise. Then we see two houses. They both of these men built physical dwellings, two physical dwellings. And both houses, even though it does not say it in the text, both houses were erect, firm, sturdy, and strong before the storm. Come on, say before the storm. Before the storm. So we got two builders, we got two houses, and then we got two foundations. Two different kind of foundations. One foundation is a rock foundation. One foundation is a sand foundation. The wise man, the text tells us, built his house on a rock. The foolish man built his house on the sand. Just talking about the natural illustration. And then we have storms. Now, I was trying to meditate. Was it two storms or was it one storm identical in nature? So it may have been two storms. It would be consistent with the text. Two storms came to both houses. So there were two storms. The Bible said the rain descended, the floods came, the wind blew and beat upon those houses. So both houses, it's very important, both houses experienced a storm. And then you got two storms. Then you got the results. You got the builders, you got the houses, you got the foundations, you got the storms, and you got the results. The house that's built on a rock foundation withstood the storm. The house built on the sand foundation, it collapsed. And then the scripture says, great was the fall of it. So let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question because you're the smart class. What was the major difference?
The foundation.
You're in the smart class, okay. You're in the smart section of the class, okay. It was really the foundation. That's the only critical difference in the house is that it was the foundation. The foundation determined whether or not the houses stood or whether the houses collapsed. How many can see that, okay? So the difference was not the storm. It was not the storm. The difference was the foundation. that the houses were built on. Now, let's move to the spiritual application or the spiritual message that Jesus is hearing. Let's look at these five components and let's plug in some things in these five components. Number one, two builders. These two builders represent two kinds of Christians. Both are Christians. And the Bible says, not Pastor Mike, but the Bible says some Christians are foolish and some Christians are wise. Got it? The houses represents the believer's faith. Two kinds of faith. There is natural human faith. Everybody operates through natural human faith. Whether you're saved, unsaved, most people operate in natural human faith. That's the faith that we bring into the kingdom. And most Christians never change it. Okay? The other faith is real Bible faith. Real Bible faith is what we Christians should be building our faith on, real Bible faith. And then you've got the foundations. The foundations, from a spiritual standpoint, is the two kinds of knowledge that the two kinds of faith are built on. Two kinds of knowledge that the two kinds of faith are built on. The real Bible faith is built on revelation knowledge. Real Bible faith. Natural human faith is built off sense knowledge. So we got two things in juxtaposition here. We have sense knowledge and we have revelation knowledge. Those are things that you have to remember. Sense knowledge and we have what? We have revelation knowledge. So let's talk about sense knowledge. Sense knowledge is the foundation that the Bible calls sand. It's the foundation that the Bible calls sand. Natural human faith is built off sense knowledge. Natural human faith is built off what? Sense knowledge. Now, what is sense knowledge? Sense knowledge is knowledge that we all gain through our five sense gates. God gave us five sense gates. He gave us the sense of hearing, the sense of smell, the sense of taste, the sense of feeling, and the sense of seeing. So sense knowledge is the information that we are receiving through our sense gate. Our sense of hearing, we know that's a siren, and we know it's loud because of our ability to hear. We know that the smell, the fragrance is strawberry because of our sense of smell. We know that the taste is spicy because of our sense of taste. We know that the feeling of the pillow is soft because of our sense of feeling. And then we know that the individual is tall or the individual is short because we can see them. So we are constantly being fed information through our five sense gates. That's sense knowledge. But secondly, sense knowledge is knowledge that we're taught in our schools. Everything that you're taught in your elementary school, everything you're taught in middle school, everything you're taught in college, everything that we're taught in our academic arenas is sense knowledge. It's the information that men have gathered and communicated to us. It's sense knowledge. And thirdly, sense knowledge excludes God and the Bible. And that's going to be so critical for us in this day and hour as we walk out the things of God, because the culture is constantly throwing information and mindsets and ideologies and concepts at us that totally exclude the Bible and totally exclude God. That's sense knowledge. And then sense knowledge, you'll get this, sense knowledge is seeing is believing. I'll believe it when I see it. That's sense knowledge. It's choosing to only believe what you see or perceive. Let's look at John chapter 20, very familiar text. When Jesus appeared after his resurrection, he appeared to the disciples, but one disciple wasn't there. Thomas was not there. Thomas Didymus was not there. So the But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Now watch this. The other disciple therefore said unto him, we have what?
Seen.
We have what?
Seen.
We have seen the Lord. But he, Thomas, said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my hand in the finger into the print of the nail, and thrust my hand into his side. Now listen to what he says. I will not believe. So he's made a choice that he's only believe what his senses is communicating to him. Got that? Now watch this. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Next verse. Then said he, Jesus, to Thomas, reach hither your finger. That's his senses. And behold my hands, reach hither your hand and thrust it into my side. And he said, be not faithless.
My Lord.
See, when we're governed purely by our senses, we're being faithless. So he says, don't be faithless, but he says, be believing. Watch this. And Thomas answered, said unto him, my Lord and my God. So he's getting excited, like most Christians. They get excited when they get the promotion. They get excited when they get the house. They get excited when they get what they call the breakthrough and all that. But now notice he's excited because his senses have validated. Now watch what Jesus' response is. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you've seen me, you've believed. Blessed. Anybody want to be blessed?
Yes.
He said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Now, the blessing is in believing.
My Lord, my Lord.
If we're going to operate on the same level as people in the world, and trust me, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. Our lives should be dramatically different.
Amen.
It should be dramatically different. In fact, the world should say, those are Christians. Okay? The blessing is not seeing, but believing.
Amen.
Got that? So now watch this. Listen at this. Listen at this. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Now we don't want to throw away our senses. We don't want to throw away our senses. Okay? God gave our senses for two primary reasons. Number one, for our protection. And he gave our senses for our enjoyment. No, look at what it says in 1 Timothy 6, 17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to what?
Enjoy.
So now listen carefully. God gave us our senses for two primary reasons for our protection. If we never smelled the smoke or saw the flame, we wouldn't get out of the house. You understand that? You drive up to the intersection and an 18-wheeler come down the road, you better obey your senses. You better not talk about I'm walking by faith and not by sight. Listen, you better walk by sight. So God gave us our senses for our protection. Now watch this. And he gave our senses so we can enjoy this beautiful world. God wants you to enjoy the beautiful world. It's a wonderful world. My wife and I travel. It's a beautiful world. And God wants you to enjoy it. He wants you to experience it. So he gave your senses so that you could enjoy the world. Now, here's the challenge for us. The challenge for us, if we're going to use our senses to determine or evaluate our relationship with God, if we're going to use our senses to know God, have a relationship with God, then they're going to hurt us. And that's where most Christians, they want to feel the Lord, see. They want to feel him. I don't feel your presence here. I want to feel your presence. And so they feel like when they don't feel his presence, he's not there. You understand? You can't know God through your senses. God is a spirit. So you can't know him. You won't know where you are in the kingdom if you're being governed by your senses. In other words, watch this. If you're determining whether you're healthy or not by your body, you're going to miss out. Okay? If you're determining whether or not God is with you by your feelings, you're going to miss out. If you're determining by looking in your wallet or your purse or your bank accounts to determine whether your need is met, you're going to miss out. okay? Because your bank account, your purse, your pocketbook sometimes will give you some information that may discourage you, okay? If you're going to determine whether you love your spouse by your emotions, you're going to say things that people say, like, we don't love each other anymore. Let me tell you something. My wife is my very best friend. I thank God. There's nobody on the planet I'd rather be with than my wife. Nobody that I'd rather be with than my wife. I enjoy being with her. I like her. I don't just love her. I like her. And she loves me. And she likes me. But there's some time I don't feel it. No, man. That time, get out of my face, girl. Come on now. Come on. And she feels the same way. There are times that she don't feel it. Okay? And see, that's unrealistic. See, that's not real relationship. Real relationship have ebbs and flows. You know what I mean? But we're committed. Amen. It's not about how I feel, it's about the fact that I'm committed to that girl.
That's it.
I'm committed to her for life, okay? So it has nothing to do with emotions. If you're gonna base your relationship and your inheritance on your emotions, you're not gonna be blessed. And that's where many Christians are. They are struggling with depression and discouragement and suicidal thoughts because they're being governed by their senses.
Take your time, Doc.
I'm not suicidal. I'm not depressed. I have challenges. Okay, just like everybody else. But when you're governed by your senses, you're not going to be blessed. That's what the scripture says. Does that make sense to anybody? Does that make sense? So we also see that we can build our faith off revelation knowledge. Say revelation knowledge. Now, real Bible faith is built off revelation knowledge. Built off what?
Revelation knowledge.
Now, what is revelation knowledge? Turn to Luke chapter 5. Let's look at Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Is this making sense to anybody?
Yes.
Okay, now. Look at Luke chapter 5. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto him, Luke 5:4, Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for what?
Draw.
Now, watch this. Simon answered and said to Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken what?
Now,
nevertheless, at your
word,
I will let down the
net.
Look at the next verse. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great what?
Multitude.
Okay, now, go back up to verse 4. I want you to see something. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for what? That's a large catch of fish. Okay. So Jesus is saying now, it's a large catch of fish out there.
Yes.
But Peter comes back and said, no, it's not. He said, we've been fishing out there all night. We haven't caught anything. So now watch this. Based off his senses, there's no fish. But God, Jesus revealed something. He said, listen, it's a bunch of fish out there. Okay? So when he acted off what was revealed to him, because he couldn't consult his feelings. He couldn't consult his senses. Because his senses didn't see fish, he can't touch fish, he can't smell fish. But Jesus says there is fish. That's revelation knowledge. And the Bible says when he acted out on what was revealed to him, there was a great multitude of fish. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. When I first was praying about Columbus, here's what the Spirit of the Lord said to me. So I'm trying to do exactly what he says. He says, start with something small. Now, he had to say that because I'm going to start with something big. I ain't talking with nothing small. I don't think small. So I'm going to start with something big. Like we had these two rooms, had a room over there, had this two room. I want the big one. That's the room I want. I want the big one. But he said start with something small. So I got to do what he tells me. So I just start with something small. I just start what he says, start. Okay? Then after we had the first Bible study, here's what he says. He says, now wait for the harvest. Okay, so when I look around here, I thank God, I'm glad all y'all are here, okay? Listen, when I get ready to say this, I thank God y'all, but y'all are not thousands. You understand? You all are a seed Okay? But you're not what God said. There is a harvest. But when I look at the chairs and I look at the size of the room, my senses doesn't tell me or validate or give proof that there's a harvest. Does that make sense? But I'm going to act on what I heard, which is revealed knowledge, even though I can't physically see people in the chairs. And the room, if it was packed, it wouldn't be a whole lot of people. Does that make sense? But I know the harvest is there because he said it.
That's right. That's right.
So now I have to act on the word. And I'm when the harvest, real thousands come, I'm not going to teach any different. I'm not going to pray any different. I'm not going to do anything different. It's going to be just like I'm doing it now because I have to act like what he told me is the truth. Does that make sense? So I act on revelation knowledge. That's how our church got started. It was four people, my wife, my mother, a friend, and me had a Bible. And I just stood up and started teaching. Why? He told me to do it. So it's got to be a harvest there. I'm teaching you now. Your life got to be based off revelation. It can't be based off what you're seeing. You're going to be discouraged.
Amen.
Look at what the scripture says. As it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man. Now, that word heart doesn't mean the spirit of man. It means your mind. So it says, eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, my mind can't think through it. But what the next verse says, but God has revealed them. To us, how?
By
his spirit. So there are some things that your eyes will not validate. Your ears will not validate. Your mind can't think through. How are you going to bless me? I don't have a degree. How are you going to do that? I don't have the qualifications. You don't have to have the qualifications if God is leading you.
Amen.
Does that make sense to anybody? Anybody getting this? I'll just tell you the story about Abraham. Abraham and Sarah had a baby. He was 100 years old. That's serious. His wife was 90. Okay. He got a word at 99. And she got a word at 89. But they had the word long before that. And the Bible says that they were not weak in faith. They were not weak. And the Bible says he did not consider his body now dead, not going to be dead now, in terms of reproduction. The Bible says he didn't consider Sarah's dead womb, not going to be dead. In other words, there was no human capacity to have a child. The reproductive years were over. Okay, now watch this. The Bible said he was strong in faith, fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. So he had to not consider the age factor, the human reasoning factor, the feeling factor, because he didn't feel like no young man, the medical reports, and he had to not consider human opinion. Boy, you with your old self out there talking about you're going to have a baby. Man, you ought to go somewhere and sit you down. You don't need going down to that church, man, they telling you going to have a baby. You're going to the wrong church. There ain't no need of you being out in that church acting like a fool, man. You are not having a baby. So he had to go against all that based off revelation knowledge. Amen. Then the fourth component is the storm. Say the storms. The storms are the problems, the difficult times that we all face, spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, financial, social, ministry. Now listen to these statements. I wrote some statements down. The storms of life are inevitable. Come on, come with me now. Come with me now. I ain't got but 5 minutes. Come with me now. The storms of life are inevitable. You understand that? Okay, Pastor, why are they inevitable? Because we are not in heaven yet.
Amen.
Look around. Come on, look around. You seeing angels and stuff like that? And you see any streets made out of gold? Precious people, we're not in heaven. So when you come up against a challenge or a test Remember, nowhere in the Bible did it say that once you got saved, once you got filled with the Spirit, once you got in the Word, you weren't going to have any challenges. It's not even in the Scriptures. It's not even in the Scriptures. So when you have a challenge, don't be asking, what did I do wrong? Don't ask that question. When you ask that question, it's like you're in a fantasy world. What did you? You don't have to do anything wrong to have a challenge. Jesus said in this world, you're going to have some challenges. Man, I'm telling you, I had some serious, serious emotional challenges, physical challenges, marital challenges, financial challenges, challenges in. See, God doesn't give us the word so that we won't have challenges. He gives us the word so that we will have an advantage and so that we will have a basis for winning in life.
Amen.
Listen to me, Christian. Listen to me. The scripture calls you more than a conqueror, which implies there's something you got to conquer. The Bible says we are overcomers, which implies that there's something that we have to overcome.
That's right.
So get that out of your mind. The storms came to both houses. Both houses, you're going to have some challenges. Your testimony is not that you don't have challenges. Your testimony is that you're not going to lose your joy.
Amen.
And you're not going to lose your peace.
Yes,
and you're going to stand and you're going to win. And that's what Bible study and church is. It's the equipment. We're giving you the equipment so that when you go out in this nasty, low down world, that you will stand and not wimp out.
Woo.
Dry your eyes up. Stop wimping out. The devil, that's a signal to the devil. When he see you crying and moping, he just jump on you. You know, when I was a kid, we would wrestle. And whenever a person gets you down, you say, I give. And then it lets you back up. And you start back over. The devil doesn't work like that. When he gets you down and put his feet on your neck, and he see you crying and acting like that, he pushes you further down. Get yourself together. Shake yourself. Turn to your neighbor and say, shake yourself.
Stay woke.
Yeah, stay woke. Don't be going to sleep on me and then you're going to get out there and say, oh Lord, help me Lord. And the Lord trying to help you now. Storms is just a part of life. You know, when the church first started, man, I'm a baby in Christ. I'm trying to do what the Lord telling me to do, but I'm a baby in Christ, man. I started pastoring 2 years after I was saved. You know, I had no business pastoring. I feel so sorry for them folk now. I look back on them, I think, Lord Jesus. Little girl came up to me one time. Little old girl came up to me, and she said to me, who is the Holy Spirit? Little old girl said, who is the Holy Spirit? I ain't know who the Holy Spirit is. I didn't bit more know who the Holy Spirit was, but you know, I put my preacher tone on. And she a little kid, she don't know no better. I told that little girl something, man, that stirred me up, man. I had to get into work. I had to find out. Man, I gotta find out. Listen, listen. I done done all the crazy stuff that faith folk do. I done jumped on my glasses, broke my glasses, couldn't see. Throw my contacts away, almost hit the side of an apartment building. I done tried to cast out the devils out of everything moving and stuff like that. I done done every crazy stuff that you can do talking about faith. That's why I want people to get it. Amen. I got a minute and 9 seconds. There were two outcomes, wasn't it? There were two outcomes. Those that built their houses on sense and knowledge. Mm-hmm. Bible says when the storm came, it collapsed, fell apart. Those that built their house on revelation knowledge and real Bible faith, even though the storm came, the Bible says the rain descended, the floods came, and the wind beat upon the house. The Bible says, couldn't shake it.
My Lord.
You couldn't shake it. Because it was built on a rock.
Yeah. Amen.
Let me close by saying this. Let me close by saying, let me close by saying this. The reason why Satan wants you operating in your senses, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says he's the god of this world. If you're operating according to your senses, he can manipulate situations. He can attack you in your emotions. He can attack you in your feelings. He can create situations to throw you off. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:16, take the shield of faith. And it says that we can quench every fiery dart. Fiery darts are contradictory thoughts and contradictory situations. Whenever you get a promise from God, a revelation from the Spirit of God, expect a contradiction. That's the name of his game. He got to give you some emotions that are going to contradict, or he's got to give you a report that contradicts, or he got to give you some circumstances that says what God told you is not true. Amen. You get anything out of that? Was that a good Bible lesson?